You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Ashley Tepper.
And I am Joe Iconis.
Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about a song called Jet, which is sort of based on true events.
It is true events-ish. It's based on true feelings, and it's inspired by a place I used to live and some of the things that happened in that place.
If you're the person being sung about in this song, please get in touch with us ASAP.
And also, sorry.
Oh, how I love a novelty mug. I look out my window to admire the view of the window right across that you can see right
So through. Jeff is part of, I guess, another playlist that folks could make from their album of songs that are a person's name, which is a genre that we love. So this is a song that uniquely was inspired by an actual human, kind of.
Based on a real person, based on real events. And so I lived in this building called Herald Towers on 34th Street. And it was like my first real apartment. It was my first real apartment. And the beginning part of my career where I sort of first was, it had come into my own and was doing the Iconis and Family shows and was working on, you know, Black Suits and Rewrite and Things Through and Blood Song. All of that stuff happened at this apartment. And so the apartment really felt like a central hub for very many years. And that building, it's three separate towers. It used to be an old hotel. At the time, it was actually like a fairly, it was like, it had a nice lobby and then the building itself was gross. It was like one of those buildings. And so the towers are very close together. And so my window essentially lined up with the window of the neighboring tower. And in that other window was a woman who was often naked in her apartment. And so I would find myself not like binoculars watching, but just sometimes like you couldn't help but notice, you know, in the same way that like sometimes, oh, there's like a bird out the window. Sure. It's like you can't help but notice, oh, there's a naked person right there. And I always thought that would be a really interesting setup for some kind of song. And I think I thought I initially was like, oh, this would be an interesting setup for a song, because that sort of New York thing of like, oh, we're all living on top of each other and like, oh my gosh, there's a naked woman across the way feels like the setup for the sort of musical theater song that I hate. Like, it feels like it would be the setup for the sort of musical theater song that would be all about like, you know, this guy like getting his jollies, like looking at this naked woman.
It's funny that you think of it like that, because as you were saying this, I was like, you know, this is not only so universal, like we all are walking around in New York and seeing strangers out the window doing things we might not if we weren't living so close together, but it's also like, this was happening in the 20s. Like, you know, I was picturing was like a Greenwich Village Review of like...
Right, right. Oh, yeah. Of like, that's fine.
I know.
Like, the Greenwich Village Review.
You were focused on what you didn't want to do with your own song, but that's how
and
I
that was
thought
just
of
part
it.
Of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the actual, you know, the actual experience of it is like, yeah, you know, I love songs about, you know, the idea of us, of people living in the city and living so close together on top of each other. And I love, you know, apartment buildings. Like, they're apartment buildings themselves are like, you know, they're like containers for short stories, you know, they are. And it's like the, you know, the construct of an album as like a thing that holds all of these characters and these stories and these snapshots into lives. I mean, that's an apartment building, you know? And it's like, I love that all of these people are just, you know, they're only separated by a wall, you know, or a window or whatever. And, you know, a window, looking at a window is so funny because it's like a, you know, it's like a stage or something. And it's like, this portal, and there's something going on over there, and it's really no different than a TV or a film screen or a proscenium. Which is all just to say that all of those ideas and those things were kind of bopping around in my brain for a while, and then I wrote this song.
Mm-hmm. I'm fairly certain that it's so universal that there's no major sitcom that took place in New York for like at least two seasons that doesn't have this as a plot line.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's on Friends, it's on Seinfeld. It also weirdly, because I like you spent a lot of years in the NYU dorms and then like didn't move out and have my own apartment until after graduation. Mm-hmm. I feel like in this apartment in Herald Towers might have been the first time that I ever really was like, oh my God, someone's right outside the window and like we shouldn't be seeing that. And like I for a while was like, no, I just wanted to be part of the history of the song. So like, I didn't actually see her. I'm like, no, I saw that girl walking around naked.
Yeah.
I remember specifically a night when we watched the Chorus Line documentary right when it came out, Every Little Step. Mm-hmm. And I remember like looking and being like, oh, that girl's walking around naked.
Yeah.
We're just watching Chorus Line documentary.
Part of history.
And she became a song. I think it's incredible that whoever this woman is, she's walking around somewhere in New York probably still and doesn't know that there's a song about her.
She has no idea.
We could all just have songs about us and not know. How's that?
That's a good idea for a song.
So this song, in terms of like performances, mm-hmm. Who has performed the song over the years?
So the first time the song was performed, it was at the Beachman, as most of my songs were performed for the first time. And I sang it. And then the first time someone who was not me sang it was Jeremy Morse, who's on the album singing it. And I think he sang it for the first time at Barrington.
Yeah.
We did a concert at Barrington and I needed another song for Jeremy. He was already doing this song of mine called The Dirty Little Things. And I wanted something else for him. And I was like, oh, what about that naked girl song? Maybe he would, you know, he would do something with it. And then he, much like Chris, the singing Broadway Here I Come for the first time and kind of reinventing what that song was, I feel like Jeremy reinvented Jeff and really turned it into a song that feels weighty. And, you know, I mean, he's an actor. I'm not an actor. I'm like a performer and I can do my own stuff. But Jeremy turned it into this like three-act play of a song and gave it this weight. And many other great actors have sung this tune. Seth Elliser does an amazing version of it. And many people, Will Roland does an amazing version of it. Jeremy was the person who kind of took it from being like a sort of weirdo, obscure tune of mine to something that a lot of people know and I think can really relate to. And it's another song that it's very, very, very literal for 90% of the song, very literal. And then the ending is something that people always ask me about, or whenever people like sing the song in a masterclass, it's always so fun for me to like ask the person, like, what do you think happens at the end? And everyone's always like, I think I know, but I'm afraid to say, you know, because it is kind of, it's sort of intentionally vague at the end.
Yeah.
But I think what happens is that he falls out a window at the end. That's my interpretation of the song.
I like in the lyrics at the beginning of the song, the conversationality of like the first few feels so very you in a way that sometimes you're writing in character and the character doesn't use the same cadence and like, you know, vocabulary choices you. But the beginning of the very beginning of the song, I almost feel like maybe, I'm not saying you like wrote it without thinking about it, but it's like, it just feels like something you would say the first verse. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. And I think that's also because the more I sort of worked through what I wanted the journey of the song to be, I really liked the idea of starting it in a very kind of casual, conversational place. And it feels really light. And again, I think it's, you know, the listener is sort of set up to think that the song is going to be one type of song. And then it's very much not. I hear that.
Yeah.
I hear that for sure. Yeah.
Relatedly, I guess I thought about this. I do remember you performing it. Obviously, there's quite a few times where you perform a song first in public, and mm-hmm. then it goes on to be performed by actors, and then maybe also by you sometimes, like Broadway Here I Come, or mm-hmm. There's so many examples. Are there ever songs where you're like, this is a song that I only really want an actor to perform. I don't want to do this myself for an audience. Like, obviously, there's stuff like Sheila Nail, which is like, in context, a very, mm-hmm. you know, epic production number sung by a young woman. It's like, yeah. it doesn't have anything to do with like the type of the song, like a person yeah. who would sing the song. Yeah. But is there ever anything where you're like, this is a song I only want an actor to perform?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, for sure. So many songs. And it's actually, it's more the opposite of that I think about. For me, it's less like, oh, this is a song that I'm writing that I only want an actor to perform, and more like, oh, this is a song I'm writing that I could potentially sing.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like that. Those are the ones that stick out to me. And like you said, it has nothing to do with the actual, you know, character.
Sure.
That's always been something, you know, in my work that I've always kind of like separated the attributes of the character or the person who I'm writing about, and the person who could potentially interpret that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like Sheila Nail is a song that it makes sense for me, vocally, acting wise, whatever. I can communicate the song to an audience in a way that's different than when someone like, you know, Kelly McIntyre performs it. But it works, and other ones just don't work, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm not sure, and sometimes like I'll try a tune. Like I've sung Ammonia a couple times live, and it's fine, but it's not the same.
Right,
because it's, you know, because musical theater, and I'm someone who, I've said it a million times, I love actors. I'm always gonna be someone who responds to an actor first. I'm always gonna be like excited by an actor who can communicate a lyric with their, you know, with their acting, and then like singing is a second thought mm-hmm. to me. Always, always, always. However, you know, it's like a song, and so it's usually better if you can sing.
Right.
It's like, you know, and like musicals, I think they tend to be better if the people who populate them can actually sing, which isn't always the case. And so I, you know, I'm fine, but like, it's, you know, a song like
The Actress
or
might
yeah.
not be your
it's just not yeah,
yeah
it's not for me, you know. And it's like, I think that the voice is a tool, and that's just a tool I don't have, or it's mine is very specific. It's that.
How did you pick the name Jeff? Because it's also like, there are some times where songs are named like the name of the character sings them that it's in the song, and some that they're not. It's just interesting that it's.
Yeah, I feel like most of my first name songs, most of them, the character's name isn't in the song. So, some of them they are, or the character's name is not the main part of the song. And so the idea behind that is always just that, you know, when you look at lyrics on a page in a musical, for, you know, solo, if you're looking at the lyrics, the name of the character, of the person who's singing it, is just at the top of the lyric. And so for a song like Jeff or Kevin or Helen Sharp, I love the idea of like the title is just the name of that character. That's all you need, just
right.
that, you know, that heading. And I think that I picked the name Jeff because it just sounded like a nothing special name. You know, it's like there is nothing remarkable mm-hmm. about this man. There's nothing, there's nothing like that. I felt like he was an incredibly unspecial dude, you know, where you're like, you would never like look twice at him.
Yeah.
And I like that idea of just like this man who's the world's, you know, most sort of like beige guy losing his mind in his apartment and going through this whole journey and breaking into someone else's apartment and and falling off the wagon and then falling out the window.
This might be our only chance to do this, so I don't know if you want to, but I want to know who lives in that apartment now, and I feel like putting this out there in the world might be our only chance, but there's no bad thing that can happen from you saying an apartment you used to live in. What was your apartment number?
Oh, yeah, it was 10B2.
If you live in 10B2, which now I remember going in 10B2, let us know. I don't know what'll happen, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be amazing if it was the girl?
How would that happen?
I don't know.
She was like, oh, I was always looking into that apartment because I admired the drapes in the apartment. Like, I wanted to live there. Yeah.
Yeah. That apartment.
Yeah.
10B2.
10B2, let us know.
Jeff.
Hey. Thanks so much for listening or watching to my podcast. Do me a favor and go to wherever you just listen to or watch this thing and subscribe or like or give us a great rating or review, and then head to bpn.fm/album to find out even more information about this podcast, more ways to watch, more ways to listen, and check out my album, Album. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Album Podcast is executive produced by Liz Armstrong. Produced by Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Kim Garris, and the rest of the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Be sure to visit bpn.fm/album for both audio and video versions of this podcast and to listen to Album.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.